così come Doyle, ben tornato ai scozzesi Fini Tribe, che nella seconda metà del 2025 hanno pubblicato un disco mastodontico intitolato The Sheer Action of Fini Tribe 1982-87. Fini Tribe è una formazione che esiste appunto dai primi anni 80, da Edimburgo, un suono che univa insieme inizialmente post-punk, industrial, white funk, per poi nei primi anni 90 dare una svolta un pochino più ballabile, ma sempre insomma mai commerciale, ecco, seppur poi hanno ricevuto i loro riconoscimenti importanti. Detto ciò, però, la raccolta contiene il materiale tra il 1982-87, quindi i primi EP, le John Peel Session, alcune versioni rimasterizzate, versioni live, insomma, un gran bell'ascolto per Fini Tribe. Questa è I Want More, e tra poco avremo con noi David Miller, proprio frontman, cantante degli scozzesi Fini Tribe. I Want More per Fini Tribe, un singolo di successo per questa band che ha prodotto poi questa raccolta The Sheer Action of Finny Tribe 1982-1987, formazione di Edimburgo, e abbiamo con noi al telefono David Miller. Allora vediamo se è con noi collegato. Hi David, can you hear me?
Hello, yeah, hello. I can hear you.
Yeah, fine, yeah. And welcome here to Radio Città Aperta. Very happy to speak with you about your band, about your history, about this Sheer Action of Finny Tribe, very good tribal record.
thank you for having us.
Yeah, no, I would like to start from the beginning. This compilation, if we want to call it Sheer Action of Finny Tribe, tells about the beginning of your career between 1982 and 1987, when you played music from the beginning more industrial post-punk with elements of white funk. Can you describe the scene around you, because you came from Edinburgh, and in Edinburgh at that time there were a very interesting band and very interesting music scene.
It was Edinburgh in the early 80s was quite bleak, quite dark, you know, quite, there wasn't much going on other than a lot of us were in bands. There were bands called the Fire Engines, Joseph K., Visitors, who were very important to us, who we hung around with and made music with, and they were sort of quite crucial to us. We just left.
Sorry, can you tell me the last name of the band that was important for you?
Visitors.
Visitors.
Visitors. Yeah. Four guys from Edinburgh. Uh-huh. Very, 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 very dark post-punk.
Okay.
Really interesting band, but they were our big influence, as well as people like Can, and we'd been listening to Can all the way through school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was quite a kind of interesting period in Edinburgh's musical history, because a lot of the bands that were kind of quite successful to begin with split up after one record or split up after no records.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of managed to carry on for nearly 40 years.
Yes, this is very important. And and so I'm going to translate for our listener.
Quindi,
ho chiesto inizialmente, ecco, i Finny Tribe venivano, comunque sono nati agli inizi degli anni 80 in questa bellissima città che io amo, che è Edimburgo, che però ci ha descritto come all'epoca molto scura, decadente, con non tante cose da fare, ma che avevano all'interno delle formazioni molto valide, come i Fire Engine, come gli amati Joseph K, come gli amati da loro Visitors, una band post-punk che è stata molto importante per i loro ascolti, e anche comunque quando già andavano a scuola amavano ascoltare anche la musica tedesca, ad esempio dei Can. I know that you started to play music when you were students in the school, is it correct?
I'm the oldest by 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd left school, but they were just coming out of school. In fact, Simon was only 15, I think. So he was still at school. So we did a lot of small gigs, and we just kept making music. We had a rehearsal space. We had a studio where we went every day.
Hmm.
Without fail. And we rehearsed and we played and we wrote every day, and then other than that, we went for long walks, and that was about it. That was our life. It was something that was insistent, something that was that made us do this every single day, and we did that for 2 or 3 years, until we got our first John Peel session, and then things started to move a little bit differently.
Yes, e quindi ho detto a David appunto del fatto che loro hanno iniziato assai giovani, lui è un po' più anziano di 2 anni, comunque anche gli altri componenti andavano ancora a scuola, quindi erano più o meno tutti studenti appena usciti dalle scuole, e andavano a provare ogni giorno nella loro sala prove in quel di Edimburgo, provavano, suonavano, componevano, sono andati avanti così per 2-3 anni finché non è arrivato anche John Peel, il grande John Peel, il mio amato John Peel, a comunque farli conoscere meglio attraverso le sue trasmissioni. E sono curioso di sapere come John Peel è arrivato a contatto con la loro musica. So I'm curious. I love John Peel. I think it's the same for you. How John Peel get in touch with your music?
Well, we sent him a demo, like uh-huh. many people did, and he picked up on it, and he invited us to play. He used to do gigs. He used to DJ out, mm-hmm. so he would travel around the country, DJ like everyone else does now, and he would play student unions, and he invited us to play at one of his road shows. So we played at a road show, and then he immediately afterwards asked us to do a Peel session.
Wow.
And then we did, you know, and in the end we did 3 Peel sessions.
Mm-hmm.
But that was sort of over the period of time. But the first Peel session was pretty important to us. It was kind of life affirming, and wow, we're doing something right.
Yeah. You know? I can imagine.
It was like a kind of, you know, it's a kind of rites of passage almost. And we were just so excited about it. It was incredible. Going to the BBC, going to Maydeville, you know, 6 guys from Scotland, rarely been to London before, and we had a great time. He was great, and if you listen to the Peel session on the record,
mm-hmm.
the songs are about twice as fast as they're meant to be because we were so nervous.
Okay.
so they have an extra energy about them, which they didn't have before, and I quite like the energy they have, even though they're really, really fast.
Yeah.
And Dale Griffin, who was the producer of that session, was the drummer in Mott the Hoople.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Mott the Hoople, but we were quite excited to meet him because of his connection with David Bowie and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, no, it was great. It was a great experience. It was an incredible experience.
Okay, quindi io ho chiesto, ma come sono andati, cioè come John Peel ha conosciuto la loro musica? Beh, come tante altre band avevano inviato un demo proprio a John Peel, che è rimasto colpito e quindi li ha invitati a suonare. Una grande esperienza per loro, anche perché sono andati a Maydeville ed era la prima volta che andavano proprio a Londra dalla Scozia, quindi giovani. Sono andati negli studi di Maydeville, tra l'altro supportati alla produzione da Dale Griffin dei Mutt the Hoople, che è una band che loro amano, insomma, formazione storica attiva fino al 74, e quindi è stata una emozione così grande. Erano anche molto nervosi, tanto che le versioni della John Peel Session, della prima John Peel Session, ecco, vede un'esecuzione dei brani molto più forsennata, molto più tirata rispetto a come le eseguivano di solito, proprio perché avevano grande adrenalina, grande emozione. E sono curioso di sapere quanto è stata importante questa prima John Peel Session. Loro poi ne hanno fatte altre 2, quindi un totale di 3 per la loro carriera. So, how it was important for your beginning, for your career, to play, to be on air in this John Peel Session?
Very important. I mean, it was. I mean, everyone wanted to do a John Peel session.
Yeah,
it was something that not everybody got. It kind of moved us up the ladder a little bit, I suppose. And we got more gigs from it. We were able to. We did our first single after that.
Okay.
Or just before that, actually, and then we did another single, and you know, things progressed quickly after that. John Peel played us quite a lot. So, you know, that was the only real radio station then that gave air to that kind of music.
Yes.
In the UK anyway.
Yeah.
So it was a very important thing for us, and we were massively thankful for it, and obviously respectful of the man himself. He gave a chance to so many people.
Yeah, I know.
So many people. It's kind of, it's a real sadness that he's not with us anymore.
Yeah.
He was a very nice man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to translate and we'll see you another time. Quindi è stato molto importante andare a suonare nella Jump Session, perché insomma ha dato visibilità al gruppo, ha permesso di avere molte più date dal vivo e quindi poi li ha stimolati anche nel realizzare il loro primo EP che è dell'84, e quindi un'importanza di un certo rilievo, perché John Peel e le sue trasmissioni erano qualcosa di unico che ha lanciato tante band già dagli anni precedenti, e quindi è anche una sorta di qualcosa di prestigioso essere da quelle parti, dalle parti di John Peel, di Maida Vale, essere trasmesso dalla BBC e non solo. Lui è una persona veramente molto carina e sì, lo confermo, non l'ho conosciuto personalmente ma ho letto libri, ho visto tanti special, ascolto ancora le sue John Peel, le sue trasmissioni su YouTube. You have to know that I continue to listen the John Peel transmission on YouTube, and very often I find a very new band. For example, I discover a band from Holland called Nasmak that I didn't never know, that I was very impressed. I've liked too much their music, and so I bought their records, and so later I get in touch with them. I had the interview with them.
Right, excellent, amazing.
And
his influence lives on.
Assolutely. Yeah. Stavo dicendo che ascolto tuttora le trasmissioni di John Peel, tant'è vero che in passato ho scoperto ad esempio i Nasmak, che chi mi segue ormai dovrebbe conoscere, che li trasmetto spesso dall'Olanda, e poi sono entrato in contatto con loro e abbiamo avuto anche un'intervista. When was the first John Peel session? 1981?
No, the first Peel session was 1985, I think.
1985, okay.
1985, yeah. I think it was 85, yeah, 85, definitely.
Because your first single or your first EP was Curling and Stretching from 1984.
Yeah, which was 84, yeah. So he played that on the radio a lot.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that was our first single, which we paid for ourselves, mm-hmm. And we put out ourselves on the Rough Trade kind of distribution network.
Yeah.
And then the things just built from there, and we made the next record, The Testimony, the year after that, which The Testimony came out in 1986, which was part of a kind of theatrical show we did, mm-hmm. which is much more industrial, much more part of a bigger thing. And obviously that record went on to become one of Alfredo's records in Pasha in Ibiza, and took us all off in a very different direction much later on. It was quite a groundbreaking record too, and still played to this day by many people.
If you agree, we can listen Cathedral from your first EP, Curling and Stretching. Quindi andiamo ad ascoltare, estratto da questa raccolta, The Sheer Action dei Fini Tribe, The Sheer Action Fini Tribe, proprio Cathedral, che faceva parte del primissimo EP dell'84 della band. Eccoli qui, Fini Tribe, qui su Radio Città Aperta. Ovviamente, se volete fare delle domande, se siete curiosi, fatevi avanti. SMS, WhatsApp, Telegram 340 197 4468.
We'll be right back.
formazione chiamata Finny Tribe, composta da Chris Connolly, Simon McLean, Andrew McGregor, John Vick, Philip Penscari e David Miller, che è il nostro ospite odierno. So David, this was your first experience in studio recordings with this EP, and this is the first song that someone can hear from your new compilation and from your beginning, because Cathedral was the first. Yeah,
it was the first time we recorded in a kind of professional recording studio with a producer. It was John McVeigh from Visitors who produced it. And again, another experience that, you know, it's hard to explain what that experience is, but it's taking something to bits and starting to put it together in a slightly different way from a rehearsal room, which is unusual for us because that's all we did. I mean, we used to record lots of things. We a lot of the tracks that you'll find on the compilation album are actually from cassette tapes that we made in our rehearsal studio.
Okay.
So just recording on a ghetto blaster. But recording in a studio, obviously, is a very different thing.
Yeah, I know. So, in the past, it was different to record when you are in your studio rehearsal.
Now everybody records at home again, but you can record. We record. That was the first time we were in a professional studio, which was, again, another amazing experience for young people.
Yeah, I can imagine. Eh sì, perché ci sono in questa raccolta tanti brani che sono presi dalle registrazioni che facevano in studio, ma proprio con il vecchio registratore, il Ghetto Blaster, per certi versi, un po' come si faceva tanti anni fa, quando uno andava in sala prove e registrava così al volo. Adesso puoi registrare sul computer e già avere una versione diversa. Quindi quando andarono in studio proprio per registrare questo primo EP autoprodotto per Finiflex, sicuramente fu impressionante per loro, per sentire anche come suonava in maniera diversa. So you were the singer of this band, and so at the beginning you sing in more different ways respect to the later, because I think that in sometimes you scream in some songs respect to the beginning, where it's more clear.
I mean, it was Chris and I that both sang. So Chris, who went on to join Ministry and Revolting Cox and various other crazy bands in America.
Yeah.
So Chris and I shared the vocals. So there's two different main vocals on those songs.
Okay.
But we're, you know, we were quite similar. I screamed too. But I haven't sung for quite a long time. And in actual fact, we've not really told many people this, but we've just started writing some songs. So we, you know, you there might be a new Finny Tribe record.
Okay.
You know, so we're both singing and we're both sort of writing songs. So we'll see what happens.
E quindi sì, no, in realtà io ho detto agli inizi mi sembrava un cantato più pulito rispetto a dei passaggi successivi dove si sentivano in alcune esecuzioni anche un cantato più urlato. In realtà mi ha detto David che si alternavano al canto lui e Chris Connolly, che poi andrà nei Revolting Cox, formazione di matrice più industriale, ecco, sulla scia dei Ministri o di queste formazioni qui, e quindi ecco, avevano diciamo una vocalità simile ma poi un'espressività diversa. So I'm curious, why did you feel the necessity to publish this compilation?
I think we'd been thinking about it for a long time, and Chris decided that he would like to put something out on his record label, because he and Simon and Andy left the band not much later on after that, after the 87-88. So they'd never had a chance to kind of put something out which was reflecting their time in the band. So it was kind of started off as that idea, and then it just grew and grew. And we all enjoyed going through our boxes, our attics, finding bits and pieces, finding artwork. And it just became a really nice thing to do. So we decided to do it. it was much bigger than we thought it was going to be. Although there are actually about another 40 tapes to go through to cover that period. there could be a volume two, you never know. But I think we'll leave it at that, because it's a good example of what we did. And it kind of marks a period of time as well. It's kind of, in Scottish music history, it tells a story of that time.
Yeah, I agree, because it represents, for some way, the atmosphere of your city, of the Scottish music, what we said before about Edinburgh and his music scene. Yes, absolutely. Esatto. E quindi, no, hanno avuto la necessità, la voglia poi di andare a riproporre quelli che sono stati i loro inizi, anche perché alcuni componenti del gruppo proprio dopo gli anni 80 hanno lasciato la band. Tra l'altro questo disco esce per l'etichetta proprio di Chris Connelly, l'altro componente della band, che abbiamo detto attivo anche con i Revolting Corks e poi in seguito la Shipwrecked Industries, ed è quindi una testimonianza di quanto avevano fatto in passato. Cioè, qui abbiamo una compilation lunghissima di 3 CD, ma ce ne sarebbero stati altrettanti da inserire, perché hanno rovistato proprio tra le loro cassette, le loro registrazioni, tra tutto quello che avevano così da parte, e quindi hanno fatto una bella selezione. Ma è stato anche bello ripercorrere un periodo storico, vedere un po' com'erano loro a livello musicale e com'era la scena anche di Edimburgo, della Scozia musicale di quell'epoca. Tra l'altro diceva, ecco, che Edimburgo era molto oscura, tra l'altro una città che è molto cambiata forse rispetto all'epoca. So, I love Edinburgh, I love your city, and so you said that Edinburgh at that time was very bleak, very dark, with not much things to do. Now it's different, probably, respect to the past.
It's very different. I mean, you know, we had too many DJs playing to 10,000 people in the middle of the city on New Year's Eve this year. You know, it's like, so, you know, it has changed. The world has changed massively. Yeah. And Edinburgh's become a huge tourist center. We have an international festival. We have gigs
a lot of tourism.
huge amount of tourism. Yeah. Probably too much, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same in Rome.
It's the same in Europe. Yeah. It's a very different thing, and there are many, many people making music, which is great. You know, I'm still involved with bands who make music. I still kind of, my life is music and events, and as is Chris's. You know, Chris still makes music as much as he can. He's involved in goodness knows how many projects making music. So, you know, we're all. I mean, Andy's a designer. Simon's a drummer. John does sound design, and Philip does theater work. So, you know, we're all still involved in making music.
So is a city that permit to you to play music at the moment as before. There are opportunity to play music.
Very much so.
E quindi sì, è una città adesso molto cambiata rispetto all'epoca. Qui era sicuramente più scura, seppur stimolante a livello artistico, ma adesso ci sono tanti festival, tanti DJ, ci sono tanti turisti. Beh, molto cambiata sicuramente. Anch'io quando la vidi la prima volta aveva un'atmosfera diversa rispetto a come attuale, però è sempre molto bella, e soprattutto è una città che permette ancora di fare musica. Tutti loro sono coinvolti in varie esperienze musicali, anche David, insomma, anche con i suoi DJ set, o gli altri componenti con prestazioni da sound designer e via dicendo. Quindi una città ancora viva e molto stimolante. Then after the 80s, changed a little bit your sound. For example, I have in my house your album called Grossing 10K from 1999. That I like too much as your previous music, but was a little bit different because the music scene at that time changed a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think what also changed was technology.
Yeah.
And we had to make the testimony, we bought a sampler, one of the first samplers, an InSonic sampler. And that changed everything, really. And by that point, it was just three of us. By the time Grossing Tay came, it was just me, Andy, not Andy, me, Philip, and John.
Okay.
And we signed to one little independent, which is Bjork's label, and we made that record for them. And it was a very different scene. We'd kind of become involved in sampling,
Yeah.
and I'm very much into more dance sort of
Yeah.
electronic music, and it progressed that way. And then we met Andrew Weatherall, and
Yeah.
life changed again.
Yeah. No, yes, I agree. I remember another band called the Renegades Unwavering, for example, that played this kind of music. This kind of music scene that I like it too much. And so I can say that Grafton 10K, if you like it, this kind of electronic, but with elements of, yes, of hip hop in some way, I remember in this
It's a
album.
dip, but
Yeah.
I think you would, there's no way you would ever get to make that record now because there's so many samples
Yeah.
on every track that it would you'd be in a lawyer's office for months trying to get that through. But I think it did music changed in 1988, 89. Music
Yeah.
changed. There was another music revolution, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
It's a
yeah.
good thing when things change up. And we just went with it, and it was exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we did more and more things, and we did, yeah, it was, yeah, everything changed. But I mean, the compilation, finishes 82 to 87. So
Yeah.
the period of time we're really sort of talking about is with the six of us. And the next stage was
Yeah.
three of us,
Yeah.
which is a whole different, which is a story to be a
The
compilation.
same name, a different atmosphere and different kind of band. Yeah. Yeah.
Different kind of band,
E quindi sì, perché appunto parlavamo di questo disco degli anni 90 chiamato Grossing 10K, che aveva delle atmosfere più elettroniche unite anche a degli elementi, dicevo, hip hop, ma anche electro left field li potremmo chiamare, ma un cambiamento di suoni che avveniva anche con un cambiamento di tecnologia, di samples, e quindi anche la formazione era cambiata perché Finny Tribe da 6 dopo l'87, dopo la fine degli anni 80, divennero in 3, 3 di loro, tra cui anche David, e realizzarono quindi questo progetto che a me piacque. It was released by One Little Indian, is correct. This Grossing 10K. And you released music for Wax Trax, that was another important label. And then
We
you.
met Wax, because Wax Trax had an office in London. So we at Southern Studios, where we kind of started working there, and we met Danny from Wax Trax there, and he liked the song we did, Make It Internal, and he also liked I Want More.
Yeah.
So we signed to Wax Trax for a couple of singles. It was only a couple of singles, and then Chris had met Al Jorgensen in London, and he then subsequently moved to Chicago, where he's been ever since, and joined Revolting Cocks and then Ministry. But the Southern Studios was an incredible workspace. It was like, Adrian Sherwood was there, Ian Mackay from oh my goodness, what they're called. Like there was the kind of hardcore punk scene. There was loads of Annie Anxiety and people like that all hanging around, and kind of Lee Scratch Perry. I think
Okay.
John actually, I think, and I think actually John engineered one of a Lee Scratch Perry track. But it was again another extraordinary experience. And the only people who took us in, the big labels weren't interested in us. But the kind of more kind of com the more kind of, I suppose, hippie dub reggae dub guys liked us, and we got in with them, and we made records without the major labels.
Yeah.
We didn't sign to a major label until much, much later, and it was a mistake.
Kenny, I understand. E quindi yeah, sì, yeah. Loro accasati presso Wax Trax Records, quando era ancora in quel di Londra, poi si trasferì a Chicago anche per il insomma supporto dei Revolti in Corso, e beh, è insomma un'etichetta molto importante all'interno di questa Factory, la possiamo chiamare così. Hanno fatto incontri veramente con personaggi di vario tipo, da Lee Scratch Perry ad Anna Anxiety, quindi da formazioni o artisti reggae dub a quelli dell'hardcore, ma anche gente di area elettronica, Adrian Sherwood, e insomma un percorso importante. E loro hanno inciso proprio per Wax Trax anche un brano che ebbe successo e che abbiamo ascoltato in precedenza. You released for Wax Trax the song I Want More, that was a success in some way.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we love playing it live, mm-hmm. so that's why we did it. It's a very different version of a very different atmosphere or a different kind of feeling than the Can version, obviously. Can's most successful song. Some people would say we shouldn't have done it, but we did. We did lots of things we shouldn't have done. But yeah, no, it was a great record to do, and did well in America. Did well in college radio.
Yeah.
Really well on college radio, and
it was sampled from someone. Is it correct or not?
What was that?
Was sampled from someone. The song was taken someone used your sample from I Want More for other songs.
Oh,
or
did
not.
They?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I ask it to you. No, maybe because
I'm not aware of that. But
okay.
That's not to say that it didn't happen.
Okay.
Loads of people sampled this. Jean-Michel Jarre sampled this.
Yeah.
KLF sampled this. So you know, it's like, you know, that's what happened in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone just sampled everybody else.
It was fun. E quindi un brano che ha avuto il suo successo, anche perché poi la suonavano spesso al vivo, era molto richiesta, e quindi ha avuto anche un grande seguito in America, ed è stato sicuramente un brano che ha avuto un suo seguito. Ma ripeto, l'intero lavoro, questa compilation, racconta molto bene quella che è stata l'esperienza dei Fini Tribe, un gruppo che viene da Edimburgo e che ecco, ha scritto sicuramente delle pagine molto importanti, perché poi c'erano dei brani, ecco, dove il post-punk si univa al funk, ma c'erano anche degli elementi più sperimentali. In some way you were experimental, because there are some few songs that are more atmospheric,
yeah.
I remember a song that there are voices of children inside that.
Yeah, we were staying in a place called Money Mill, which were friends of us who had family there and had kids there, and we just recorded the kids running around.
Yeah.
But it sounds a little bit kind of weird and kind of filmic, and we actually recorded Deep Under the Earth there as well. So it was like, yeah. It was another, we were always looking for places and atmospheres to record in, because we were interested in that. We didn't really want to just record in a recording studio. We like to find places to record that other people probably wouldn't.
Yeah. E quindi sì, si trovarono anche in questo luogo, adesso non ho capito bene dove, però insomma, dove erano presenti parecchi bambini che hanno desiderato campionare e registrare, e hanno realizzato quindi questa composizione presente nella raccolta, e che si può ascoltare. Quindi non amavano solo stare in studio e scrivere canzoni, ma anche sperimentare, campionare, registrare, fare, come si dice, dei field recordings, per inserire il tutto dentro alcuni brani, oppure proprio per realizzare delle composizioni a sé. Quindi un progetto molto interessante che vi invito a scoprire. And so, are you thinking to come back together for a live set or not?
I don't think we'll play live, but I think we might well make another record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All
Yeah,
of six.
I think. Yeah. Yeah. We will. You will. I would demand. It's going to take us a while because Chris lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
But again, with modern recording technology, we don't have to worry about that. But yeah, no, we are writing. It's been a while. It's been a while since any of us played any instruments.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Ok, it's interesting. Quindi sì, no, dal vivo non andranno a suonare, però stanno meditando un disco da fare insieme. Chris Connolly vive ormai negli Stati Uniti, però magari con la moderna tecnologia si può realizzare, si può comporre, scrivere, pubblicare insieme un album. Insomma, già c'è qualcosa in cantiere. So, thank you so much. For me, that's all, because...
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very interesting about your experience and your music. I'm very curious to listen to your new stuff when you will be ready. Yeah. So,
well, I hope we can speak again when we do it.
Absolutely. And so, do you want to choose one song from this compilation?
Backwards and forwards we lean.
Okay, perfect. The second song from your first EP.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave Miller, thank you so much to be with me. And so, hope to have
very nice
you again.
To you. Yeah.
Ciao, see you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Ciao.